bearing my shame and agony. Jesus paid sin's penalty, that fallen man might be free. But death and hell could not hold him prey. He rose triumphant, glorious day. Soon he's coming back again in power and glory to reign. From the cross of Calvary shineth the light of life so free. Sinner, look and live, saith he. Pardon is offered for thee. Why will you perish? He took your place, canceled the sin for Adam's race. Mercy's door is still ajar. Come to him just as you are.
Amen. Thank you, John. Glad that we can come to the Lord just as we are, and he cleanses us and saves us there. Revelation chapter 16, we've been going through the book of Revelation in our Sunday morning messages, and we come to the end of chapter 16, and then chapters 17 and 18 have to do with Babylon, which is both a city and a system, an ecclesiastical system, a political system, and we'll see the judgment on that in chapters 17 and 18. And so today, the title of the message is The Mystery of Babylon. We come to the seventh vial. It tells us in 16:17, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Remember when Revelation started, and don't want to do a whole lot of review this morning for sake of time, but remember that there was a scroll in heaven that was sealed with seven seals, and no one was able or worthy to come and open the scroll to read what was written on the front and the back side. And then the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, was worthy. And he opened up the scroll, and after every seal was broken, there was a judgment with that. And then when the seventh seal was opened, there were seven trumpets. And with those seven trumpets, there were seven judgments as well. And on the seventh trumpet, when the trumpet sounded, there was another series of seven judgments, and these were called vials or bowls. And so the angels would take that bowl of judgment and God's wrath and pour it out upon the earth. And we've seen great destruction and judgment of God on sin there. And notice this seventh angel. We're now to the seventh vial after the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal, and we see God's judgment being finalized, because when we get to the end of chapter 18, we'll see all of God's judgment done, and then we'll enter into heaven and the kingdom in chapter 19, and that will be a glorious time when we finally get to chapter 19 after seeing all this destruction and judgment. But notice the seventh angel poured his vial into the air in verse 17. And the Bible teaches us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And so here in his own domain where he rules, Christ is sending this angel to pour out judgment upon Babylon here. And as we look at this chapter, or part of a chapter this morning, we're going to see four parts to the mystery of Babylon. We're going to see the voice from heaven, And it says, it is done. And then the vengeance that God has on Babylon, the city and the system, and then the vision of the woman that we read about in our scripture, and then the victory that the Lord Jesus has. And so let's begin, first of all, by looking at the voice from heaven here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, which is indeed your voice from heaven to us, that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us in the pages of Scripture. The Word of God is infallible, and it is relevant for today. It is eternal, and we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your voice from heaven, the Word of God, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this voice coming down from heaven, the voice cries out, it is done, and we see cities destroyed. The words, it is done, at the verse 17, kind of reminds you of when Jesus was hanging there on the cross. And remember, he cried out, it is finished. And whenever he was announcing it is finished on the cross, he was crying out in victory, with joy. But now, as the angel brings this cry of it is done, it is not an announcement of victory, but it is a verdict that God is giving down on the people on earth. And it's not a cry of joy. It is a cry of judgment. And all of God's judgment is going to be poured out. Now, we saw way back in chapter 4 that we as believers, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are born again. We are part of the body of Christ, or the church. And whenever that trumpet sounds for the rapture of the church, where the bride of Christ is caught away, we're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to be on earth going through all of these judgments. And for that, we certainly thank the Lord for that. But these cities are going to be destroyed. It tells us in verse 18, there were voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. Now, we could take the time and look at all the historical earthquakes and how great some of them were and all the destruction that they have caused, and we know there have been a lot, but there's going to come one that's greater than all the others. It tells us here in verse 19, and the great city, which could be Jerusalem or Babylon, depending on which one of those you hold to there, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations. That's very likely the capitals of the nations. You think about cities like Washington, D.C., and other great cities. The judgment of God is coming down to give her, verse 19 says, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Right now, we are living in an age of grace under God's mercy. But there's coming a time of judgment where there will be no mercy mixed in with God's judgment. And not only will cities be destroyed, but we see that the topography is going to be changed. The islands are going to flee away, verse 20. And the mountains are not going to be there. It's going to be, God's going to change everything. And so there's going to be judgment upon his creation as well as judgment upon all those who have rejected Christ. Verse 21 tells us that there's going to be some hail coming down. And in our Bible it says the weight of a talent. And so in looking at that, the weight of a talent can vary a little bit. And basically it's a general term that means how much a full-grown man and his strength could lift. And so it would vary depending on who you read in commentaries from 75 pounds to 125 pounds there. And so can you imagine hailstorm coming down with every little piece of hail, whether it's a regular size or larger, 75 pounds, just crushing the entire planet? I mean, whatever hasn't been destroyed from the islands and mountains being fled away, when this hailstorm comes, the judgment of God is going to destroy everything that's left. Because as we get to chapter 17 and 18, we're to the end of time as far as here on earth is concerned, and God's judgment is coming down. So what is man's response in verse 21? When they see all of this, it tells us that because of that, they blasphemed God. You would think because all of the judgment coming down, they would repent of their sins, but instead they do just like people today. So many people today harden their hearts, just like Pharaoh did when God sent all the plagues to Pharaoh. People, instead of seeing the judgment of God and repenting of their sin, they harden their hearts. That's what Pharaoh did. And people will do the same thing here because God's love, His mercy, His grace, they've been rejected. And now God's wrath is coming down. So the voice from heaven says, it's done. The time of God's judgment is here. Now we come to chapter 17 as we see this seventh angel pouring out his vial upon the earth, and we see God's vengeance upon Babylon. The Bible uses a term that in our society we don't use this term today. It is meant certainly as a derogatory term. It says she is the great whore, and we see her fornication. That word that is translated whore in our Bible is the Greek word porne, and it means to sell. And so here this woman, which is pictured as a system and a city, is selling herself, selling anything. We're coming to a time where that's what religion is doing. And religion doesn't get us to heaven, does it? It is the Lord Jesus Christ that does that. And so we see her fornication here, and we see God's punishment of this system and this city here. It says God's judgment is coming. I will show thee the judgment here. And many waters in verse 1 is a reference to all the nations that will be joining together this one world church system, a political, ecclesiastical system that's going to be joining together against Christ, following the Antichrist there. And as we look around today in America and other countries, you kind of see some things. You wonder if God's putting some of these things into place now, because don't we see people that are just like this? Religious systems that are just for the money and selling things and the pornography and the filthiness and the prostitution and the immorality that's all around our world today. You see it and we wonder about God's judgment and it's coming. And so whenever these people reject the truth of God's word, they're going to just be sucked up into any lie. And so here they're rejecting the truth of God's word, and God's punishment is going to be coming. Well, it takes two to be involved in fornication. And so the partners here in verse 2, with this system, with this woman that's described, the kings of the earth, the leaders of all the nations, many leaders are going to be joining up with this ecclesiastical system and this political system. They're going to join up with this harlot, and it says the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They are drunk with false religion. And you know how drunkenness impairs a person? It impairs their speech. It impairs their walk. It impairs their thinking. And so here, they're all impaired in their thinking process. They're going to follow the Antichrist. They're going to follow a false way. They're going to follow into judgment instead of receiving the grace and the mercy of God. And verse 3 tells us that this woman is sitting. She's carried away in the spirit. He carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. And so here she is now, her position, this system, this city of Babylon. She's sitting on this beast here. And this beast, the Antichrist, is described as this beast. And if you are riding an animal, I've not done much horseback riding. When I was a child, my grandfather had, hopefully you're in control of that. You're controlling that animal there with the reins. And so here she is sitting upon this beast, and she is controlling that this religious system is coming to power. There's going to be political power, religious power. It's going to be united. There's going to be a one world religious system. You know, not national pride, not pledge of allegiance to a nation. Did you read in the news this week about the college in California that voted to throw out the American flag from anywhere in their university? You read that and say, how in the world can people in America decide to do that? Well, there's coming together a one world government, a one world, all those bad things that seem like they start oftentimes in California, don't they? There. And so here is this woman upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now, a lot of commentators, as you read this, and we're not going to go into all of the history and all the nations against Israel and the Roman Empire and the revival of the Roman Empire, but the Romans, during the time that John wrote this, around 95 A.D., they were dressed in scarlet color there, the uniforms of the Roman soldiers there. And so a lot of people are thinking this has to do with the revived Roman Empire, and not just Roman Catholicism. That will certainly be a part of it, but it's not going to be one religion. Roman Catholicism, and Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and all the religions of the world, and even some Protestant denominations who haven't accepted Christ, they're all going to come together under one head here. And we see this woman in verse 4. We see her portrayal, how she is presented. Notice that she is arrayed in purple and scarlet, royalty there. She is decked with gold and precious stones, and she has a golden cup in her hand, no doubt for wine and those kinds of things. And so when you think of this picture here, here is a woman who is very attractive, very deceptively attractive, with all the wealth and the jewelry and much to offer. And it is so deceptive. And so the picture is that of a harlot. And so deceiving. And when the Bible in the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that, doesn't it? And warning young men especially for that, because of the dangers and the snares and the destruction that comes from that. And we even see some of that in the life of Samson, a strong man physically who was deceived by that. And here is deception again, being very attractive. So this false religion comes along, and it is very appealing to all the nations, to many people. And there's a world leader who is offering peace. And remember, the Antichrist has offered peace. And at the middle of the tribulation period, what Daniel calls the abomination of desolation, he's going to break that peace treaty. And then judgment, the great tribulation, is going to come at that time. So we see not only from this woman her fornication, but notice also her forehead. Now, we've seen in the Scriptures and the Revelation, as we have been studying through this book, that God has the names of His people on their forehead. And we've said several times that Satan has a counterfeit for just about everything that God does. And so there is a mark of the beast, 666, where people will get on their forehead or on their right hand. But here this woman, she has on her forehead in verse 5, and the all caps is really not significant as far as anything I can find. I don't know why they're in all capital letters there. We know that when Christ died, there was a sign written above Him, as well, King of Kings there. But here, on the forehead, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. A mystery. And in the Bible, when we see that word mystery and we look at the Old Testament, a mystery is something that is not revealed in the Old Testament, But in the New Testament, God begins to reveal those things to us, like the mystery of the church and other mysteries of the dispensation that God has there. And so now we see God is starting to reveal to us that this is not just a city of Babylon. Remember in the Old Testament that at the Tower of Babel, where the name Babylon comes, they decided to build this building where they could reach God. And God confused the world with different languages there, because here in man's own efforts, they were trying to reach to God. And that's what all of these religious systems are trying to do, and they're coming together as one. And this system is an ungodly system. It leads to destruction. The answer is not in religion. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the cost of salvation for us on the cross. But then we see also that she is a mother. Now, this is not a passage that I'll choose in May for Mother's Day there. We usually think of mothers, a good thing, for mothers. And what think about a mother. A mother is one who has given birth. And so now this mother has given birth to all the false religions and all the cults of our day, whether it be Mormonism, Jehovah Witness, all the different cults that are out there, all the false religions here, they're all coming together, finding something in common that they all can agree on, and it's so deceptive. It's very attractive and appealing. And the Bible tells us that Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. You know the verse there. And that's what's happening here as the Antichrist begins to rule. But his rule is temporary. God's going to come and take care of that. And so as we continue in this chapter, we see the vision of the woman. John is writing this, and it tells us in verse 6, that she is drunk. I saw the woman drunken, but it's not with alcohol. It says, with the blood of the saints. So this is symbolic. It's a picture of this religious system. With the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great shock or admiration. Here, sometimes we think of the word admiration as from a positive standpoint, but it's not that for sure. There's a shocking here. Think about Cain. When Cain came before God, didn't Cain offer a sacrifice? He offered some religion to God. And did God accept his sacrifice? He did not. And then Cain committed murder. Well, here, this religious system is not acceptable to God. And there is murder here. They're killing all of God's saints. Remember, during the tribulation period, people are going to get saved. They're going to be the 144,000 we saw several chapters ago preaching the gospel. They're the two witnesses that we saw preaching the gospel. People are going to get saved. And they're going to be murdered by the beast and his false prophet and all those that follow there. And so they are drunken with the blood. This creature that we see here, the beast that is carrying her, in verse 7, it says he has seven heads and he has 10 horns. Now, horns in the Bible speak of power. If we read about the altar and the tabernacle, it had horns on the altar, because there's power in prayer. And so here are these 10 kings coming to power here. And this verse says that there are 5 of these kings are fallen. One is and one is not yet. And some people think those 5 refer to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece, and Rome, which is, at least it was in that day when John was writing, Rome fell in 476 AD. And then it's going to be revived. It is yet to come. And then these 10 horns here, these 10 kings, it says they're not in power yet. So there are going to be 10 kings that are going to be in power, that will be put in power probably by the Antichrist during this tribulation period. And all of them are going to join together in unity, and their strength in numbers, but not enough strength to overcome the Lord when he comes back. And so we see harmony of these people for a little while. It says they are of one mind here. Verse 13 of chapter 17. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. And so God is going to allow a one world system under the leadership of one man, the Antichrist, and he is going to be deceptive, and many are going to follow him. Believers are not going to. Those who are genuinely saved, they're going to refuse the mark of the beast. They're not going to go in his way. They're going to be murdered, and it talks about the blood of the martyrs of Jesus in verse 6. And God always has a people, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the New Testament, in the tribulation period, God has his people there. And as we get to the end of this chapter, we see the victory of the Lamb, and we see God's people here. The victory of the Lamb, we see the saints of God in verse 14. Notice how it describes them. These, talking about the false leaders and all those that follow them, will make war with the Lamb. So all of these people are coming together and they're going to fight the Lamb. Notice the meekness there. But that Lamb is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ himself. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Why? For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, are chosen, and are faithful. And I've called them called and chosen and continuing because they're faithful. And you can look at these as three words to describe all believers, or you can look at them as referring to the called, the Old Testament saints, the chosen, the New Testament saints, the continuing, the faithful, or the tribulation saints who continue there and they refuse the mark of the beast. And the Bible says, they that endure to the end shall be saved. That's not talking about a work salvation, is it? We don't endure to the end and earn our salvation, but it's talking about those during the tribulation time. But the victory of the Lamb, we see his saints enjoying the victory, but those who are destroyed are the sinners. In verses 15 and 16, it says, he said to me, this is John saying, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And so these peoples and nations and tongues of all races, that's the peoples and all nations, all geographical settings, all nations, all languages, they're all coming, and there was harmony. They had all given consent to be under the leadership of one, but now they're going to turn on her and they're going to burn her. You know, the system has served its purpose and now they're done with it. You know, that's the way a lot of people treat the Lord today, isn't it? The way a lot of people treat the church today. They treat God like a spare tire. You know, if I need the Lord, you know, I'll just put him back here until I need him. Then when I have a flat, I'll go call upon the Lord to help me through this rather than trusting in the Lord. And so here, they had the unity for a while, but now it served its purpose and they burn there. And the Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will reign supreme. And the last thing we see this morning in verses 17 and 18, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And so God puts it in their hearts to agree to follow this and to do his will, and then they surrender there. One day everyone will surrender to the Lord. The Bible says one day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for those here, it's too late, because it's not a voluntary surrender. And that's a paradox of the Christian life that's so wonderful. The way to have victory is to surrender. When we surrender our lives to the Lord, we have victory. But whenever we go our own way, we're going to be lost. We're going to be destroyed. And here it says God has put it in their hearts to fulfill His will. Satan and these 10 kings and these 7 hills, which may be Rome, or 7 continents of the earth, all of those uniting together, they cannot stop God's plan. And His plan is that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you done it willingly? Have you surrendered your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus willingly? If not, one day everyone's going to be forced to, and it will be too late. But now the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Don't be calloused here, but give your life to the Lord while God's mercy is still available. Because one day there's coming where His mercy will not be available and His judgment will reign supreme when that vial is poured out on all the earth. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, if there's any here in this auditorium who have never willingly surrendered their heart and life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and come to know Him as the only way of salvation, that even now, while we're praying, they would pray that prayer and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me my sin. Thank You for sacrificing Your life on the cross so that I could have everlasting life. Lord, we think of so many all around the world today who are deceived by false religions and how that deception will continue to grow. Lord, it's so important that we share the gospel, the good news of Christ, where You have placed us, whether it's here or Liechtenstein. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have to share the good news, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to surrender to Your will daily so that we can have the victory that You want us to have each day in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.